This is Audible.
10-Tor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Street Cultivation 2 by Sarah Lynn, narrated by Travis Baldry. Chapter 1. Soul Application. Power surged within Rick's soul, arcing from his body to form a perfect aura, blazing at full strength. Yeah. Okay, hold it for a bit. The official glanced over his aura for a fraction of a second with a bored expression, then waved at it lazily. That's enough. You can put that away now. Rick nodded and sat back down in the office chair, which managed to look luxurious while being completely uncomfortable. When no further questions came immediately, he fiddled with the sleeves of his combat outfit. He hadn't wanted to wear the gift from Granny Whitney, but it was the best clothing he owned, and he needed every edge for the job interview. Okay, next up is the transfer test. We'll start with a minute in between spheres and go from there. He'd practiced for this, though he was surprised to be given marble spheres instead of bars. It felt like one contained much more lucrum than he thought could be crammed into a marble, so they must have some way of concentrating it that he didn't know about. Regardless, his job was the same. Draw the lucrum out of the first sphere, hold it without absorbing any, and pass it into the second. Since so much was on the line, Rick was utterly focused during the first test. But after that, the official had him hold lucrum between spheres for 3 minutes. Waiting that long, his attention began to wander, and he had to resist looking at the clock. If this took too long, he'd be too late to see Melissa. Given the unpredictability of job interviews like this, he'd suggested that he could just skip this one, but Melissa had insisted. The world didn't care about their schedule, and they had to rearrange their lives around it. She'd understand if he ended up missing her ceremony, but he'd be upset with himself. Okay. The interviewer made another inscrutable mark on his clipboard and then looked up, still without much expression. Though everyone at the bank was well-dressed, this official's suit didn't quite fit, and he didn't seem particularly invested in his job. That concludes the practical portion of your application. Rick set the spheres back on the table and tried for a confident smile. I passed? If you hadn't, we wouldn't continue to the interview portion. Now, the interviewer glanced down at his clipboard, then back up at him. Why are you passionate to join the Branton Central Bank family? When Rick had started on all these interviews, that question had really thrown him. What he wanted was a job that paid better than getting punched at the House of the Cosmic Fist. All he was passionate about was earning his way to a better life. But after several awkward interviews, he'd realized that the interviewers didn't really care either. The question was just a test. He gave a bland answer that they thought they wanted to hear, the same one he'd given at the last interview, with a few names changed around. Aha. Once again, the interviewer's eyes dropped down to the next question, then back up. And what would you say is your greatest strength? I'd say friendliness. I worked at a gym and learned to provide customer service with a smile no matter how much clients needed to vent. The answer was complete bullshit, but he thought that was what a bank would want to hear. Maybe. Okay, what is your Lucrema portfolio's greatest strength? There was a real question, and Rick didn't hesitate. My defensive core. I've invested approaching 20,000 lucrum into a solid build, and it's rated as level 7.
Uh-huh.
The interviewer scribbled something down. Good? Bad? And moved on to the next question, as if Rick's most powerful asset meant nothing.
What's your greatest weakness?
Rick gritted his teeth in something that was a distant cousin to a smile. When I see a problem, I tend to try to implement a solution right away. In the past, that's led me to move too quickly, so I've taken steps to surround myself with people who can help me optimize first. He hated himself for giving such an awful answer. There had been at least one early interview that he'd bombed because he'd taken the question seriously. Maybe pride, maybe commitment to family over work, or more likely something he wasn't aware of. But no, apparently, instead of searching himself for a real answer, he was supposed to give an awful fake one. Interview guide said he was supposed to be authentic, but every other instruction ordered him not to be. Regardless, Rick forced his way through the rest of the bank's interview. Unlike some of the first interviews, he felt prepared for everything. There had been rumors that they asked strange questions about manhole covers, but he didn't get anything like that. It was an entirely boring interview, until eventually the official stood up and extended a hand.
Thanks for coming in, Rick. We'll keep your resume on file and contact you if we decide to move forward.
Thanks for talking to me. Rick shook the man's hand, not too weak, not too firm, and did his best to find a real smile. Do you have any idea when you'll make a decision?
We'll contact you when we decide to move forward.
Another non-answer, but Rick thought he saw the truth in the bank clerk's eyes. He resisted the urge to vent his frustration, but couldn't help but grimace as he spoke. I didn't get the job, did I? Did I fail the practical lucrum transfers? I thought my control was perfect.
Well, sure, you did fine there.
The interviewer shrugged, actually throwing off a bit of his robotic nature and seeming to really look at Rick for the first time.
Kid, what you've got to understand is that doing transfers properly isn't that special. There are thousands of people who can pass the practical tests, so we need another way to pick candidates.
I see. Since the man had actually given him an answer, and he was fairly sure he'd failed the interview anyway, Rick decided to push on. What do you actually choose by then? Mastery certifications?
Those wouldn't hurt, but that's more for security positions. For a job like this, to get in the door, you really need membership in a decent sect or a college degree. Honestly, we wouldn't have interviewed you if we weren't required to interview a certain number of candidates by HR.
Rick ground his teeth and managed to keep his tone civil. A college degree? In what? Lucrum management? Does that have any relevance to being able to do the job? The bank clerk shrugged.
Not really, but we need something to thin the herd. A degree shows, you know, discipline. Good luck out there, kid.
With that, the interviewer led him out of the room. According to the guides, Rick should have thanked him again, but he didn't have it in him. Though he'd gotten the sense that his lack of qualifications hurt his job search, having it thrown in his face like that was a different experience. He rushed out of the bank's lobby, glowering at the floor and then the pavement. Here, it didn't matter that he'd won his division of a massive tournament. Nobody cared about what he'd overcome or how far he'd developed his Lucrema portfolio from nothing. Even his defensive corps was just a number on a sheet of paper to them. Taking a deep breath, Rick tried not to let it get to him. This wasn't the first time, after all. He glanced at his phone to confirm the time and saw that he still had a while before the ceremony. Better to head in that direction, maybe grab some more info, and get there before anything could go wrong. His job at the House of the Cosmic Fist actually wasn't so awful. After his Lucrema soul had been battered by Mike and the tournament fighters, not to mention Terrigen, he could take everything the clients of the gym had to offer. The raise he'd forced out of Jimmy helped, too. And for once in his life, he and Melissa didn't need to scrape together every lucrum they could just to get by. Yet, after a few months, he'd started to feel how limiting the position was. His pay was good by his family's standards, but low in comparison to most jobs, and he didn't get many benefits. More irritatingly, he no longer got much training benefit from sparring with clients. If he stayed at the gym, well, he knew that he wouldn't be satisfied. Coming up from his thoughts, Rick realized that he'd been aimlessly walking for a while. Toward the school, yes, but he wasn't going to get there by walking, even if he ran. Still, he checked his phone again to be sure. He had time, and there was no point getting there before the ceremony, since Melissa would be with her friends. Since he had time, Rick headed instead to the park. He could get some more leads there, plus he'd be right next to the bus station for getting to Melissa's ceremony next. Since the two of them had plans afterward, it would be good to accomplish a little more to be prepared for tomorrow. A few months ago, he'd never even been to Angle Park, but it was one of Branton's important community centers. The park took up a block shaped like a right triangle, but perversely wasn't named for the angle. Apparently, Jeffrey Angle had been a native of Branton who had won a jade medal at the Olympics, though it must have been multiple decades ago because Rick hadn't even heard of him. From a distance, he ran his eyes over the familiar scene.
a few picnic tables in the shaded part, and a decaying plastic jungle gym for kids in the sandy part. It definitely wasn't Branton's best park, but it was kept clean and safe by the local community. There was some sort of sect that had taken the park as a public service project, so it was regularly used. Most importantly, it was used for community announcements. Rick nodded to several regulars at the nearest picnic tables before stepping into the stone gazebo to check the message board. If people could just get organized and put their announcements online, his life would be a lot easier. But apparently the people in this part of the city liked doing things analog. Since they had a lot of resources for someone like him, he needed to follow suit. His eyes skimmed over the familiar announcements, looking for new things that weren't local barbecues or other events. A colorful flyer caught his attention due to its requirement of a generation rate of 50,000 lucrum or more, but it turned out to be an ad for some of the local lucrum sports. Interesting enough that Rick took a picture with his phone, but he didn't think he had that kind of competition in him. Otherwise, it looked like the usual bad job offers, no better than his current job. There was a drab sheet of paper with something about a role for skilled lucrum users out of town, not terribly promising, but it had been posted by the Central States Lucrum Authority, so it was worth looking into. There were a few apartment listings, an ad for advanced lucrum stations, and a few local sports tournaments.
"Looking for a job, son?"
an old man sitting at one of the benches in the gazebo called out to him. Since the man looked vaguely familiar, Rick nodded. "I've got one, but it's a dead end."
"You take a look at that paper on the bottom left there. My cousin needs strong young types for his landscaping business. Pays a lot better than you'd expect, and you can make a lot more if you end up leading a crew."
To be polite, Rick looked at the paper. It did pay more per hour than working at the gym, but... "Thanks, I'll look into it." Rick took one of the tabs with contact information and shuffled around the side of the gazebo to prevent further conversation. Once he might have thrown away the slip of paper, but now he found himself staring at it a while before putting it in his pocket. It was true that he was limiting the possibilities by only looking at jobs that required a strong lucrum soul. There was an entire world of people out there that had normal jobs and never fought a day in their lives, after all. Was it pride that kept him from taking mundane work and throwing himself at job offers that never panned out? Rick leaned back against the wall and rubbed his forehead with one hand. He'd heard landscaping was sweaty and rough on the back, but he wasn't afraid of hard work. It couldn't be worse than being physically beaten at the gym. Was pursuing lucrum-based jobs just a stupid dream? Rick shook off the thoughts. The main things he had to offer were his control of lucrum and combat skill. If his lack of qualifications made his current attempts difficult, it would only make trying to get an office job even more painful. Lots of jobs seemed to require a college or sect degree even to get in the door. No, he needed to stick to his strengths. To keep himself from getting depressed, Rick pulled out his phone and began to check apartment listings. Those at least seemed to be centralized online for Branton, though a few of the apartments on the bulletin board had been new to him. The site tried to direct him towards some ridiculously expensive ones, but he scrolled past them to search for something in his budget. Looking at the pictures, basically everything looked better than the terrible apartment where he and Melissa currently lived. It had been one of the cheapest possible, so of course it would be at the bottom of the barrel. A few they might even be able to afford, even without a better job, but actually applying to them just seemed like too much of a hurdle. Sighing, Rick closed his browser just to check the time again. It was close enough, so he should just head across town and meet Melissa before the ceremony started. He was too distracted by all his tasks and the fact that he'd almost certainly bombed the interview. He wasn't getting anything else done. As Rick started to walk away, his phone rang. To his surprise, it was the number he'd saved at the Branton Chamber of Combat. Applying for that job had been a really long shot, so Rick hastily answered the phone.
"Hello, is this Rick Hunter?"
"Yeah, speaking."
"Wonderful, I was hoping I could get a hold of you."
The woman on the other end had a syrupy voice, the positive words flowing out meaninglessly. Rick held his breath.
"Though I regret to inform you that the position for which you applied has been filled, another position has opened up that might be a good fit for your skills. You're cordially invited to apply in person at the chamber offices.
Great, thanks. Rick tried to keep the smile off his face. What's the job?
Actually, the deputy director was hoping to talk to you about that in person. It's a bit of a new initiative that he's excited about. Why don't you come in?
Sure. When?
Now.
Rick froze. Had there been something strange in her voice, or was he just assuming that because the request was so strange? Part of him feared that it could be something suspicious, but this was no underground fighting ring. It was the freaking Chamber of Combat. It was hard to get public service jobs, and even this call might not mean he'd gotten the position, but this was something he couldn't ignore. If only there wasn't something twitching in the back of his mind.
Sir, are you still there?
Right, yes. Rick swallowed and forced himself to make a decision. As much as he didn't want to risk missing Melissa's ceremony, he couldn't afford to turn this down, so he didn't really have a choice. I'll be right there.
Wonderful.
With that word, the woman hung up. Rick stared down at his phone for a while, wondering just what was going on, then got moving. Chapter 2. The Branton Chamber of Combat. For all the times in his life that Rick had heard people talk about the local Chamber of Combat, he didn't really know what to expect. Some people thought it was important, but it had never once been relevant to his life. Even his job interview with them had been at some adjunct branch, so this was his first time going to the actual office. Basically, all he had was an address. He found it in the older part of downtown Branton, one of the areas without any tall buildings. It was a blocky old structure with narrow rectangular windows and a style he felt like he should recognize. Across the front, large brass letters clearly stated Branton Chamber of Commerce. Rick muttered under his breath and looked around, trying to find the Chamber of Combat instead. They were related institutions, so surely it had to be somewhere nearby. Since he was running out of time, he swallowed his pride and just asked a suited man by the entrance, who informed him that the Chamber of Combat was actually a branch in the basement, not a separate building. Though heading down the concrete stairs to the basement door wasn't exactly fancy, the doors opened into a nicely furnished hallway. Not as nice as the law offices he'd been in, but everything was in good condition. That was better than a lot of local institutions could say. There was a secretary at the front desk, so he walked up to her. Hello, I was told the deputy director wanted to talk to me about a position.
Hmm? Just a moment, he needs to finish another meeting first.
The secretary's voice wasn't the same as the woman on the phone, and she didn't seem to know anything about it. Though Rick briefly considered if it was some sort of cruel prank, after a while he stepped back and sat down in one of the chairs along the wall. Being forced to wait after being ordered to come immediately was irritating, but he could tolerate it, so long as they didn't make him miss Melissa's ceremony. Rick found himself checking his phone repeatedly and tried to cut down on the impulse, instead glancing around the chamber. The furnishings were as nice as he'd thought at first, but there were a few details he'd missed. Several paintings adorned recessed portions of the walls, most portraying clan heads or sect leaders who were members of the chamber. There was a silver seal over one wall that had an elaborate engraving that he eventually figured out was the founding of Branton. Serious-looking European pioneers shook hands with serious-looking local elders. He'd been forced to learn about it in local history classes in school, more than once, because the public education system wasn't very well organized. His thoughts wandered to the potential job itself, despite his best efforts. Working for the Chamber of Combat could actually be a satisfying job, so part of him believed there was no way he could actually get the position. He'd start on the bottom step at first, but he could potentially end up making the city a better place, maybe even stop unfair fights like the one Mike had forced on him. Though he tried not to be superstitious, part of Rick worried that if he thought about the job positively, that would jinx it. So he checked the time again, stared at the paintings, and tapped his feet until the door behind the secretary finally opened.
Hey, is that Rick? I'm done now. Get in here.
A middle-aged man in a cheap suit popped out the door and grinned at him. There didn't seem to be anyone else in his office, so his meeting must have been by phone or spiritual connection.
Come on in. I've been wanting to talk to you.
Still in job interview mode, Rick grinned back and shook the older man's hand as he entered. The deputy director's office was a bit cramped, but as nice as the rest of the offices. Rick glanced at the name plaque on his desk automatically a second before the man introduced himself anyway.
I'm Jeremy Thompson, deputy director of the Branton Chamber of Combat, and boy, do I have an opportunity for you.
He sat down and immediately leaned forward eagerly.
You see, the director and I have always disagreed about how to approach local fighting rings that live in a legal gray area. We know that some of the major organizers of the big tournaments have a few shady practices.
Right, Rick answered automatically, while his mind flew to the Slayer match, where weaker fighters had been maimed and nearly killed. That was one of many reasons he hadn't gone back to the underground.
Apparently, the Chamber's connections to them are a bit inside baseball. Lots of hush-hush stuff. But what matters is that we need them to respect us as an institution. Our showing in the big tournament was downright shameful.
Though Rick kept the smile on his face, he was afraid of where this was going. He'd done well in the tournament, but so far his accomplishment hadn't earned him what he'd hoped.
Anyway, long story short, Jeremy leaned even further forward. The new budget has more funds to improve our team, and I'm in charge of those funds. Given how well you fought in the featherweight division, we wanted to snap you up before someone else did.
I see. Somehow he managed to get the disappointment out of his voice. Though he didn't want to keep doing fights like that, even for the Chamber, he forced himself not to dismiss the offer too quickly. You know I'm not a featherweight anymore, right? I'd be on the weak end of the welterweight class.
Oh, but we have the budget to help you with that. We can put you up against some serious fighters and give you all the support you need to grow fast. By the next major tournament the Chamber wants to participate in, you could be at the peak of the welterweight class, I'm sure of it.
That's certainly a generous offer. Would those fights be working for the city?
No, we couldn't use you for that. You'd be an independent contractor.
Jeremy Thompson shot him another smile and pushed a sheet of paper to Rick's side of the desk.
I had this whipped up before you came. It's all boilerplate stuff, really. The important part is that if you fight for us, we'll give you what you need to succeed.
Rick smiled and thanked him, trying to make just the right amount of eye contact, but that was all just habit. He was already starting to suspect that this wasn't the job he wanted, and scanning the sheet of paper confirmed it. The salary was paid mostly in philosopher's elixir and combat supplements. Those were potentially valuable, but they were just using him to fight. But most importantly, I don't see anything about health insurance here.
Well, as a contractor, you're going to get fewer benefits.
The deputy director kept the smile on his face, but it was hollow now.
You're a durable lad, though. You shouldn't be getting injured. And if it goes well enough, who knows? You could end up with a major position in the Chamber.
This is really flattering, but it'd be a big decision. Can I get back to you on it? Jeremy's smile got even less convincing.
Come on now, someone in your position should jump at a job like this. It's the chance of a lifetime.
You're saying I can't have time to think about it? Rick frowned at him skeptically, wondering if this was somehow worse than past combat offers. You rushed me here, too. Is this actually above board?
Look, the funding to get you into this position isn't as concrete as I'd like. If you take the job, it's solid, but if we don't strike while the iron is hot, the budget could change and the whole initiative to improve our fight standing could get called off. That's why I wanted to clear this up right now.
Though Rick looked down at the sheet of terms again, he thought he already knew his answer. Yes, it was tempting to get a bunch of direct help to increase his strength, but looking at it realistically, he thought he was being temporarily hired to improve the Chamber's standing, then he'd be thrown away once he wasn't useful. Maybe he could do what they wanted at welterweight, but after that was the middleweight class. That was Emily's class, and he'd seen what she could do. There was no way that the Chamber would invest enough for him to be competitive there, so they'd simply end his contract. Then he'd be back where he started, a little stronger, but not having truly advanced anywhere in life.
I'm flattered, Rick said, standing up. But I don't think I can make a decision this quickly. Sorry.
That's fine. That's fine.
The deputy director stood up, too, and shook his hand, a little too firmly this time. He turned his smile up several more notches.
I think you're making a mistake, and you'll see that soon. But it's up to you. The offer is open for another 24 hours. Then I can't promise anything. Call me when you change your mind.
Though he nodded, Rick was certain that he wouldn't change his mind. He took the paper to be polite and checked his phone again. Now he was seriously risking being late. As he headed out of the deputy director's office,
You really disappointed me, Rick.
The cold voice made him flinch, and he whirled to look toward it, even though he hadn't felt anyone at all there. But instead of some sinister assassin, Rick found himself staring at Alger. The owner of the underground arena looked positively ridiculous in a purple suit with red highlights. He leaned on a strange crystalline cane that seemed a bit too short for him, forcing him to tilt at a dangerous angle.
"You showed such fighting spirit in the tournament."
Alger shook a fist in melodramatic outrage, his voice now more absurd than sinister.
"Yet now you simply walk away from a chance like this. Working for the Chamber of Combat is exactly what you need to drive yourself forward instead of stagnating."
Rick blinked a few times as his brain got back into gear. "You work directly with the Chamber. Wouldn't they be trying to shut your operation down?"
"It's all in good fun."
Alger tapped his cane against the floor idly.
"They try sometimes, and I fight back. That is the nature of our world now. But enough senseless talk. Are you sure I can't convince you to return and take the job offer?"
Even if that didn't make me suspicious something was wrong with it, no, I'm done with that kind of fighting. Alger clicked his tongue disapprovingly and turned away, coattails flying.
"Pity. I believed you had the spark of a true warrior."
Rick stared after him, wondering exactly what he had been doing there. The way he spoke about the job suggested that he had known everything about it, perhaps even been involved. Surely Alger couldn't be directly related to an official body like the Chamber of Combat when he ran an illegal fighting ring. Could he? Then again, perhaps he got away with everything due to his relationships with officials. Shaking it off, Rick rushed out the door and up the stairs. Thanks to the additional delay, he was now definitely going to be late to Melissa's ceremony. Trying to run under his own power, he'd miss the entire thing. If he used his newly improved status to take the bus, he'd only be a little late, but he absolutely wanted to be there when she walked across the combat ring. Realizing that this wasn't the time to be stingy, Rick raised a hand and focused enough aura to hail one of the more expensive taxis. He didn't have permission to hail the highest quality ones that flew directly over the city, but now that he was in the 15th ether tier, he wasn't restricted from most of the normal options. In a surprisingly short time, a taxi zipped up to stop at the curb beside him. It was a squat, white vehicle, but it was made of lucrum and moved at the top permitted speed. He never spent money on such travel normally, but he was no longer squabbling to save every lucrum. He could afford this. Rick hopped into the back and gave the driver the address before they sped away. He wasn't going to be too late unless they hit traffic, so Rick breathed a sigh of relief. Yet, as the Chamber of Combat retreated behind him, he found himself looking back toward it repeatedly, wondering. Chapter 3. Graduation. The instant the taxi stopped, Rick leaped out. He fumbled for a sphere to pay in lucrum, not wanting to waste time getting the right change, but not willing to toss extra lucrum in the window like he was in some kind of cheesy action movie. That was where it would have been convenient to have an automatic electronic method of payment, but he pushed the thought aside. Instead, he sprinted past the generic facade of the high school toward the park behind it. Once it had been a forest for meditation, but most of the trees had been cut down in favor of parade grounds and fields for various sports. He'd seen those before. He'd gone to the same school not so many years ago, but that didn't matter. All that mattered was the new stage set up in the middle of the stadium. There was some faculty member still making a speech at the podium. He wasn't too late. Letting himself calm down, Rick moved alongside the edge of the stadium, scanning the crowds. There were plenty of parents there waiting to take pictures of their kids, so he didn't look too out of place. Given his age, he could easily have been friends with one of the students, which he supposed was technically true. Eventually, he caught sight of Melissa's light brown hair. She was sitting with some friends he vaguely recognized, but not focusing on them. Instead, her eyes were scanning the sidelines with a worried look that he hated to see on her face. Then she caught sight of him, and the worry melted to a broad smile. She dialed it back the next second, instead giving him a wry grin and a nod. Rick glanced toward the filled stands and gave a helpless shrug, but she just bobbed her head understandingly. The important thing was that he was there to see her ceremony. Melissa shot a glance at the speaker and rolled her eyes exaggeratedly. Rick had barely even been paying attention, so listened in just enough to figure out that the vice principal was going on about life being the greatest battle in the student's future. Nothing all that unusual for a graduation speech. In fact, Rick remembered a similar line from his own graduation, but he supposed that she had been listening to it for a lot longer than he had. After that speech, a student with a sash adorned with honors came up to the podium next. After thanking the vice principal, she launched into her own speech.
"It's been a difficult year, hasn't it? We've had too much homework and last-second breakouts and even the fire in the cafeteria."
Laughter. Rick had no idea what that referred to and glanced to his sister, but she didn't show any interest.
"But we fought our best and come through. I honestly believe this graduating class is one of—"
As the student continued speaking, Melissa caught his eye again and made a wanking motion with one hand. Despite the serious environment, Rick found himself smiling. Compared to dealing with her dangerous medical condition and being threatened by Mike's cronies, normal teenage problems must seem mundane to her. This was a good upper-middle-class high school that they'd struggled to test into, so not many of these students had as difficult a life. When the student stopped speaking and the lights dimmed, Rick realized that it was finally time for the key ceremony itself. This would have been the last point he could have rushed in, so perhaps he could have taken a cheaper method of transportation after all, but he was still glad to have shared a few moments with Melissa Pryor, even if across the stadium. The administrators moved their seats back, and the podium was removed from the stage, clearing the combat circle. All lights faded further, except the spotlight outlining the combat circle precisely. From the shadows emerged the school's grandmaster, wearing the traditional ceremonial robes and cap. It took a while for the crowd to become silent, then the first student's name was called. He nervously walked up the steps, tripping on his robe a bit, and stepped into the combat circle. A gong sounded, he and the grandmaster bowed to one another, and they both stepped forward. Then the grandmaster handed the student his diploma, and he walked on, waving to his friends. A long time ago, the final ceremony had been one of combat, but that was a relic of ancient times. They didn't even ring the gong for every student anymore, just once at the beginning and once at the end. Rick knew a few older people thought the whole thing was a mockery of the original ritual, but he didn't particularly care. All that mattered was the graduation itself. Most students had family cheering for them as they entered. A few yelled something or made some gesture that must have been some sort of inside joke. One fell down going up the stairs, and the whole crowd clapped to encourage her, which just seemed to embarrass her more. None of it really mattered. Rick just kept his eyes on Melissa as she advanced in the line of students approaching the stage. Finally, it was her turn. She crossed the stage, bowed gracefully, and accepted her diploma without any mishap. Only a few cheered for her, but it didn't matter. When she had her diploma in hand, Melissa turned to look at him, and they shared a broad smile. Rick felt the tension that had been building in him all day finally slip away, letting him forget about this stupid job interview or the Chamber of Combat. He was proud of Melissa for her hard work, graduating with honors despite being born without an aura spark in her soul. And if he was honest with himself, he felt a bit vindicated. Everything he'd sacrificed felt worth it, to know that his sister had gotten the proper education he'd wanted. His own high school experience had been terrible, dealing with their addict parents and fighting extended family while struggling to help raise Melissa. It was a miracle he'd passed it all. But despite her condition, Melissa had been able to make the most of her time in school, apply herself, and graduate. Though he wasn't sure where she'd go in life, he was sure that she wouldn't have his problems of lacking qualifications thrown in her face. He'd make sure of it. Rick moved around the side to intercept Melissa as she got away from the stage. She ran and leapt to hug him, actually knocking him back a step. Once she'd been so frail that it felt like she weighed nothing, but since she'd begun to control her condition, her health had been improving. She was still thin, but nowhere near as skeletally frail.
"You made it,"
Melissa squeezed tightly before he set her down, then backed off to smile at him. Rick raised an eyebrow. Of course I did. I wouldn't have even done the job interviews today if you hadn't insisted.
Yeah, but I expected you to bump into someone along the way and start another blood feud or get run over by an entire parade or...
Ha ha. Rick rolled his eyes and just put an arm around her shoulder. Congratulations on graduating, sis. Do we need to stick around for the rest?
There's not much more. You might as well.
Fortunately, there were no more speeches. Once all the students had gotten through the ceremonial ring, the band played the school song, there was a collective cheer, some threw their combat sashes in the air, and that was it. The siblings headed out early to avoid the rush, though not having a car allowed them to skip the horrible traffic jam in the parking lot as everyone tried to leave at once. Instead, they walked across one of the fields in the general direction of home. Melissa tugged off her ceremonial sash and folded it under one arm. Rick glanced over at her. So, what do you want to do to celebrate?
I was thinking of succumbing to peer pressure and doing drugs.
If you do that, face punches will be your anti-drug. Rick flagged a taxi, a cheap one this time. But seriously, do you want to go out to a restaurant? You've done great in school, so you do deserve to celebrate.
Nah, everybody else will be clogging all the restaurants.
Melissa pondered his question as the taxi stopped for them, then nodded to herself.
Let's just grab something from the more expensive Chinese place. That will taste a lot more like success to me than some fancy restaurant.
It would have been cheap to a lot of people, but for them, ordering out at all had been a luxury. Rick had good memories of late training sessions fueled by that food, though, so he thought it was fitting enough. They stopped by to pick up their usual favorites, then headed back toward the apartments. Oh, I didn't even think about your friends. Rick frowned at himself as the thought suddenly occurred to him. Would you have wanted to do something with them instead?
Nah.
Melissa was quiet for a while, staring out the window.
We all promised to stay in touch, but we probably won't. That's how it usually goes, isn't it? You leave your school friends behind for work or college friends.
Maybe for most people, but it doesn't have to be that way for you.
Right, because you spend every night out drinking with your high school buddies.
Rick sighed, preferring not to think about the people who had passed for his friends in high school. He didn't keep up with most of them, even online, but their lives had gone in entirely different directions. I wasn't saying you had to, I just didn't even think about it.
Bro, relax.
Melissa looked back at him and favored him with a quiet smile.
I really don't want to do anything except go home and relax. And there's no one else I'd rather do it with. We got through school with just the two of us, so it should end with just the two of us.
It was sweet. A bit too sweet. Rick smirked at her. You know, I'm starting to wonder if you even have any friends at all. All these excuses. Let me guess, your friends all had to leave on a training mission. I wouldn't know them anyway.
I'll have you know that I'm the most popular girl in school, and I run around kissing all the boys.
Uh-oh. If that happens, I think I'm contractually obligated to punch them.
Aren't all of your contractual obligations punching?
Yeah, you're not gonna like the celebratory punches once we get home. Melissa grinned, but didn't fire back. Instead, after a pause, she spoke in a quieter voice.
I really do think it's most fitting for it to just be the two of us. I actually considered inviting Lisa to my graduation ceremony, but it wouldn't have felt quite right.
That drew Rick up short, and he considered that for a while. I knew you met her for another Lucrum massage, but are the two of you friends now or something?
I like her pretty well, but honestly, I'm probably too young for us to have a real friendship. I think she views me more as a little sister than anything.
Melissa shook her head.
But that's not important. I want to go home and shove all these noodles into my face.
Well, now that you have a fancy high school diploma, you're smart enough not to shove them into your ear instead.
Wait, are you saying that's not what the chopsticks are for?
The joking faded as they got home, however. Melissa still seemed to be in a great mood, but when Rick stepped out of the taxi and looked at their apartment block, he found himself pausing. This place really was a shithole, now that he looked at it again. The broken glass, the peeling paint, the wasted inhabitants slouching near the stairs. Now that Melissa had graduated, he really did need to find them somewhere better. Or maybe just somewhere better for himself. Though Melissa still hadn't completely decided on what she'd do next, it was possible that she'd join a sect or go to college or otherwise leave him to start her own life. When they got inside, Melissa set about organizing the takeout on the little table while Rick checked their mail and turned on the old laptop. Normally he wouldn't have, but he had an inkling of what he'd find. Uncle Frank had left a video message for Melissa congratulating her on graduating. He had been even busier than usual lately, work taking a rough turn, but Rick had been fairly certain that he'd make time for that. While Melissa watched his message, smiling fondly, Rick poured water for both of them. Once Melissa finished Uncle Frank's message, she came back over, they grabbed their food, and they set about eating. For a while, they just traded old jokes through full mouths, celebrating in their own way. But eventually, Melissa sat back, patting her stomach in satisfaction.
I almost can't believe I'm really done.
She let her head roll to the side, toward her room.
While we were eating, part of me suddenly got nervous that I'd left the book I needed at school. But there's no more homework. Ever.
Unless you go to college. But if you don't do that, then, yeah, adult life is pretty much just a constant party.
I knew it. The whole taxes thing is just an elaborate practical joke on kids, isn't it?
Though he'd enjoyed their relaxed meal, Rick found his thoughts inexorably turning to the future. He set down his chopsticks and looked over at Melissa. Have you made any final decisions? She didn't answer for a long time and eventually spoke without making eye contact.
I don't think I'm going to do college. Even with the scholarships, the expenses are just... I've done my research and it's really hard if you aren't loaded with cash.
Don't assume that. We could make it work.
Oh, don't be that way.
Melissa swatted his shoulder, breaking free from her reverie.
I didn't make that decision to be all sad and poor. I honestly don't think college is the right choice for me. You need it for some jobs, yeah, but it's a ridiculously expensive investment. I'm thinking that I want to go for a juvenile certification. That would open the door for a lot of career opportunities.
What certification? I assume the CLAT, unless you had another idea.
Of course the CLAT. Anything else I want to do, that will be the most useful start.
Huh. Good plan. Rick had never taken the centralized Lucrema aptitude test himself. It wasn't that he couldn't afford the nominal fee, it was that he couldn't afford to take enough time off work. There were adult versions of the CLAT, but they weren't as prestigious, and he hadn't really considered them. The way Melissa mentioned it led him to wonder if he shouldn't look into getting a simpler sort of certification. It wouldn't be too large an investment toward getting a new job. While thinking about it, Rick realized that he was woefully ill-informed about the topic. He glanced over at his sister. You know, I have no idea when the CLATs even take place. Right after school?
Nope, the next one is after summer. Apparently, clans used to take that time to polish their best candidates, though that became irrelevant when all the tests got standardized. Anyway, I've got 3 months to prepare.
Sounds like you have a clear plan. What do you have in mind for those months?
Actually, I wanted your help on that.
Melissa poked him in the leg.
Get out your phone. Let's check my portfolio and talk.
Now that she was no longer a minor, Melissa could access all features of the Lucrema app and do that herself, but Rick got out his phone and pulled up her profile for old time's sake. Name, Melissa Hunter. Ether tier, 19th. Ether score, 189. Preliminary score. Lucrem generation, 10,100. Current Lucrem, 2,496. Melissa Hunter's Lucrema portfolio. Foundation, 2600, level 2. Steel Lucor, 3300, level 2. Combat Core, 2900, level 1. Lucor Mass, 1300, NA. Total Lucrem, 10,100. Oh, you broke into 5 digits. Good job, sis.
Secret ninja training.
Melissa karate chopped his shoulder, but she was looking at the numbers seriously.
I want to get your advice on all kinds of things. I've managed to put a decent amount of Lucrem into my combat core, but it's still rated low. I wasn't sure if you thought I should work on putting the rest of my Lucor mass into it now or try to improve the quality level first.
Both could work, and it's probably best to do a bit of both simultaneously. Rick pondered the uninvested Lucrem for a while. It really depends on what you want. Getting 3,000 Lucrem into a basic combat core is really solid for someone your age. You might be better served by putting the rest into a more specialized core.
Well, we can figure that out later. But there's one thing I definitely want. We need to spar for real.
He looked up at her in surprise. Are you sure you want to focus on combat?
Nah, it's not about that. Your Lucrema soul improves when you fight people with stronger ones, right? Well, since celebrity fighters aren't going to let me start fights with them, I guess I'll have to rely on my good old big brother.
I'll certainly do everything I can to help. You're going to get diminishing returns, but I've had some decent fighting experience, so it should give you a burst of improvement.
I was reading some of the career guidance, and your Lucors are actually better than a lot of people's. They might have more Lucrem, but worse ratings. I wonder if you could leverage that somehow. Like, get paid just to expose younger fighters to your Lucrema soul.
Rick smiled wryly at her. Congratulations, you've invented the concept of training. Melissa rolled her eyes.
Okay, I'm not saying the first idea in my head is going to be a winner, but I want to get all the improvement I can, because that's going to be useful to me no matter what path I choose in life.
Joking aside, I do agree that it's a solid plan. I'll support you as well as I can.
What about you?
Huh? Rick blinked at her, not having expected the sudden serious tone in her voice. What do you mean?
What exactly are you aiming for, other than the job applications and all of that?
Melissa shifted to lean on one arm, tilting her head so that her hair fell to cover her face.
Say that I do great on the CLAT, master my inner void, and swim in money. What would you do then?
Other than come borrow money from you.
I'm serious, Rick.
You literally just graduated, sis. Do you really want to talk about my future?
I do.
She looked at him again, no longer so serious.
We're in this together, just like we always have been. Come on, show me your portfolio. I want to compare and see just how far I have to go.
Seeing that she was not going to allow herself to be refused, Rick woke up his phone and switched the app to show the numbers that had become familiar to him. Name: Rick Hunter. Ether tier: 15th. Ether score: 296. Lucrem generation: 43,650. Effective rate: 41,662. Current Lucrem: 10,419. Rick Hunter's Lucrema portfolio. Foundation: 3,550, level 4. Offensive Lucor: 7,650, level 4. Defensive Lucor: 16,800, level 7. Bunyan's Step: 7,100, level 4. Graham's Stake: 8,550, level 2. Aura Leech: -1,988, stage 1. Gross Lucrem: 43,650. Net Lucrem: 41,662. Since the end of the tournament, he had continued his training, but hadn't invested heavily in any of his combat lucors. He also hadn't eliminated the last debt leech, as much as it irritated him. The math was fairly simple. He was actually better off improving his Graham Stake lucor and letting the leech very slowly drain away its total. Now that he wasn't regularly in serious fights, it no longer felt like such an imposition. Melissa whistled and shook her head.
Just seeing that is inspiring. Your defensive core alone is bigger than all of me put together.
It's not that impressive overall.
No, it is. I know what you went through to earn it.
His sister moved her hand over to grasp his, squeezing for just a moment.
I'm glad for how much you've helped me, but I've graduated now. I want to be able to help you too. So whatever your goals are, I want to support them.
Thanks, sis. That means a lot. They kept talking, setting up the basics of a training plan for her. But through it all, Rick kept returning to her question of what he wanted. He wasn't sure. Chapter 4: A New Opportunity. Going back to the House of the Cosmic Fist left Rick feeling heavy. He generally made his peace with the job for now, but stepping into the cheap strip mall and anticipating another day of clients was just depressing after spending so much time talking about the future with Melissa. They'd even sparred a bit, though only to get her combat core warmed up for future work. His job at the gym had taught him a lot, not to mention supported their lives and gotten Melissa through high school. But now that she was graduating and wanting to support herself, it was definitely time to move on. Part of him was motivated to apply to more jobs, but another part of him was getting a bit discouraged by the whole process. Still, he had to keep trying. He'd stay in this job instead of doing anything crazy, but his primary goal was considering all of his options. The most important one was the strange listing by the CSLA, since he had so many questions about it. That decided, he shook off those thoughts and entered the gym. "Morning, boss," Rick nodded as he entered and started getting things set up. Jimmy didn't respond directly, just kept leafing through his magazine. His boss certainly didn't seem to care about stagnating, and if he rarely seemed all that happy, nothing much seemed to get to him either. Rick couldn't see that life working for him, so he decided to venture a question. He thought there was a good chance that his boss would know something about the strange job posting. "Do you know anything about the Central States Lucrum Authority?"
"Little bit,"
Jimmy answered casually, but his eyes stopped and he didn't flip any more pages.
"Why?"
Rick realized that his boss was trying a bit too hard not to care. Did he know about the job posting somehow? It was too late to avoid the topic, so he advanced cautiously. "My sister just graduated and she said that she had some kind of offer with them. I know they're part of the system that distributes all the lucrum that's harvested, but I don't really know much more about them."
"Keep your distance. Anybody who's directly involved in lucrum distribution is playing for keeps."
"Maybe so, but they must have a reason for approaching new graduates. It could be a really beneficial position, right?" With an irritable grunt, Jimmy set down his magazine and stared at him.
"I mean it, kid. Keep your distance. None of that bullshit about your sister. If you take that job with the Lucrum Authority, they'll chew you up and spit you back out as soon as you break. They might dress nicer than the thugs in the underground, but I know who I'd rather cross."
So Jimmy not only knew about the job posting, he had strong opinions about it. Though his words had been meant to persuade Rick not to take the job, they actually caught his interest. He hadn't been sure the position had been worth following up on at all, but if Jimmy took it so seriously, it was worth researching further.
"You listening, kid? Don't take any more risks. Stay here, and things will go better for you."
Rick made himself smile. "Better as in giving me another raise?"
"Don't push your luck."
Jimmy grunted dismissively and picked up his magazine again, the conversation clearly over. It had lit new curiosity in Rick, however. After sparring with two of his regular clients and a walk-in, he used his break to check his options. There were a few places he could call back and a few jobs he could submit his resume to, but they were more of the same. Most likely, he didn't have a chance, if they even called him back at all. This drab posting by the Central States Lucrum Authority, however, it said nothing about qualifications other than fighting ability. Rick knew he was far from the strongest, but he was equally confident that he was competent. Most likely, the job had nothing to do with direct violent confrontations, so it was possible that he was actually fit to do it. On his next break, Rick looked up a little more information about the local Lucrum Authority, but mostly just confirmed what he already knew. The Global Lucrum Authority controlled all lucrum harvesting and set policy, but it parceled out management of regions. Some were controlled by national bodies, others by corporations. Either way, they were serious institutions with strong ties to the GLA. Maybe he didn't have much of a chance, but it was worth giving a shot. After work, Rick ran home and checked the information at greater length. He had a few days until the first organizing date that was mentioned, so he spent them polishing his lucrema to a shine. Fortunately, he had the day off, so Jimmy wouldn't get suspicious. Melissa wanted to spar regularly, but understood the importance of the opportunity and was happy to let him focus on it. On the day itself, Rick pulled on the combat suit Granny Whitney had given him and headed to the location via bus instead of running like usual. For whatever reason, all the candidates were supposed to meet in a field on the northern edge of town where suburbs faded into countryside. He'd expected to see something new set up or some special entrance that wasn't visible online, but as far as he could tell, it was just a grassy field without any particularly distinguishing characteristics. Just to be sure, he checked his phone before the bus left. Yes, this was the right place. He was 20 minutes early, but that was the closest time the bus came this way. Rick doubted that there was any lucrum technique hiding some massive structure, but decided to head into the field in case it was some sort of test. There was a single tree in the field, an old oak that shaded a significant portion of the grass. When Rick approached, he saw that there was a woman lying underneath with her arms behind her head. She wore a light green pantsuit that blended with the grass a bit. It wasn't particularly flattering on her round frame, but when his senses approached her lucrema soul, he realized that she probably didn't care. He actually took a step back, checking again. Unless he was mistaken, her generation rate was over 500,000 lucrum. It was hard to estimate rates that much higher than his, but all his experiences in the tournament had sharpened his senses. If she was packing that much power, no wonder she was so relaxed.
Huh, you're early.
The woman popped open one eye, looked at him, then gave a polite smile. He had a hard time judging exactly how old she was, most likely because she had a core that impacted her aging. I'm sorry, is that a problem? This was the closest time on the bus schedule.
The bus?
She blinked a few times as if trying to get her head around it. Given the level of wealth her power represented, she no doubt hadn't worried about that kind of thing in years.
Well, it's not a problem at all. Not as long as you're here to apply for the job.
Rick squared his shoulders. I think I am, but the description didn't say very much.
Most people have someone else tell them all the details, but I suppose it's nice to get someone who just wants to give it a shot.
The woman sprang to her feet in a smooth movement that belied her size.
Since I'm already awake, I might as well get started. I need you to sign on this tablet, okay?
She extended a tablet to him, and Rick carefully read the fine print. Fortunately, there wasn't much. This meeting was just exploratory, and he wasn't committing to anything aside from giving them permission to analyze his Lucrema portfolio. That was standard procedure for most jobs, so he signed.
And you're the first on the list.
The woman gave him an absent-minded smile.
Do whatever you like until more people show up.
In case the meeting was going to involve some kind of martial test, Rick sat down and meditated for a while, going through his exercises that didn't expend any lucrum. Once it got closer to the actual time of the meeting, others started showing up. He opened his eyes to look over the new arrivals. Most came in cars, some came in taxis, and a few flew in by themselves or on lucrum vehicles. Rick was surprised at how relatively old the group was overall, only a few looking his age. Their clothing varied widely, but he was struck by how many wore civilian clothes. He saw some designer clothes that probably cost more than all the secondhand clothing he owned, but not many combat suits. Dressed in the one Granny Whitney had given him, he was actually one of the better prepared, though a few wore top-of-the-line outfits. None of them seemed weak, though, with generation rates in the 40,000 to 100,000 range. Worse, he thought they were disciplined corps, not just birthrighters throwing around excess lucrum. Many of them moved in tight groups, some acting like old friends and others seeming to meet for the first time. Did this job involve some kind of team component? No one else looked surprised by the location, and the woman had suggested that others had inside information, so it was likely that they knew things he didn't. She ambled through the groups, getting everyone to sign on her tablet. Judging from her calm, everything was going according to plan. Then again, she might have looked that calm if the entire field was on fire around them. Should he try to approach some of the others to learn more, or would that be revealing his weakness? It looked like he was running out of time, because it was 5 minutes past the starting time, everyone had signed the tablet, and the woman in charge was ambling back toward the tree. Maybe it would be safest just to ask her, but then again, she might be the one evaluating them, and asking might count against him somehow. Rick was still trying to decide when he was distracted by the squeal of tires. He looked just in time to see a bright red car drive off the road into the field, skidding in a sharp circle and kicking up dirt before coming to a halt. As everyone stared at it, the door lifted upward and a man sprang out. He was wearing a goddamn three-piece suit. Rick didn't know much about suits, but it looked ridiculously expensive to him. The jacket and pants were jet black, but the waistcoat was crimson and the tie was gray. The new arrival strode out into the field, whipping off a pair of mirrored sunglasses. Beneath them, he was only a few years older than Rick, with a lean, handsome face and blonde hair styled like he wanted to star in a K-pop video. Everyone stared as he walked up to the official and grinned at her. I need to sign something, right?
Yep.
She pushed her tablet toward him, not showing the slightest flicker of surprise. As soon as she got his signature, she turned to walk toward the tree as if completely uninterested. The others were all buzzing with interest, and the new arrival just stood with his arms folded, clearly enjoying the attention. Rick would have hated him already if he wasn't just a bit baffled. Surely someone like that couldn't actually exist, right?
Only then did Rick realize that he had been so distracted by the spectacle that he'd forgotten to check the man's strength. Unfortunately, that ended almost as soon as it began. All he could sense was some kind of outer shell that obscured everything within. That shell alone felt like it was at least 25,000 lucrum, though, so the man wasn't all style and no substance. All the buzzing was cut off as the woman clapped her hands, the sound resonating loud enough to cancel out all other sounds. She began speaking quietly, assuming that she had everyone's attention, so the group came in closer to listen.
"Thanks for coming, everyone."
She looked around over the group blandly.
"Most of you already know why you're here, but I'll say a bit in case anyone has the wrong idea. Our methods of harvesting lucrum from the atmosphere are far more than 99% effective. It's 99.999, well, a lot of nines. But no system is perfect, and on a global scale, the lucrum that slips through is still a large enough amount that it can cause a lot of problems."
Nobody seemed very surprised by what she'd said, but Rick caught a few angry looks and wasn't sure why. He decided to ignore the crowds and focus on the woman. Since she was in charge, he might be able to get more of a sense from her.
"The worst thing is that the problems are distributed randomly and inconsistently. That's why every branch of the Lucrum Authority needs special agents to deal with those problems. Make no mistake, it's dirty and unrewarding work. But since it gives an opportunity for excellence to rise to the surface, we have some incentives for all of you that could lead higher."
"Why now?" The question came from a muscular man in a tight shirt, his folded arms flexing in irritation. "You've rejected all my applications, then suddenly you just fling the door open to anyone."
"There have been some anomalies in recent years, so we need to expand our ranks. But the details are both too complex for you and beyond your pay grade."
She gave a bland smile and swept her eyes over the crowd.
"Any other questions?"
Some might have wanted to, but no one spoke, a subtle presence holding them in place. Rick pushed back against it, since it didn't feel as strong as Terrigen's presence, but it was much more subtle. He wondered if some in the audience didn't know why they kept quiet.
"All of you would begin as contract workers," the woman explained. "But your base salary would be supplemented by performance-based bonuses. To that end, we'll be instituting a merit-based system. Starting now, actually. Your initiation will be by the vice president, so while he gets the time to come here, let me just set up the system. You can talk amongst yourselves, I suppose."
With that, she turned away and pulled something else from her pocket. It looked like a phone, but felt like lucrum. A moment later, a massive window of glowing aura appeared in the air, listing the names of everyone present, a timestamp, and point values. Everyone had only a few points, but...
"What the hell is this list judging us on?"
One of the men in the crowd stepped forward, glaring at it. The official just waved a hand vaguely.
"Punctuality. 1 point for being on time, a little bonus for being early. It won't matter in the whole scheme of things."
But it did, because Rick Hunter was at the very top of the list, 10 minutes before anyone else. A quick glance suggested that the top 10 had received 2 points, but he'd been given 3. Many of the competitors began to grumble to one another and look around, so Rick hastily skimmed to the bottom of the list. Apparently, the flashily dressed man was named Damien. No last name.
"You were the first one,"
a young woman abruptly turned toward Rick, eyes narrowing. He vaguely recognized her as one of the earliest arrivals.
"Who tipped you off about this system?"
Rick opened his mouth, then shut it, not wanting to draw attention to himself. But it was too late. Plenty of the others in the field were beginning to turn toward him. Some just glared, marking him as a target, but a few stepped closer as if they blamed him for this. Worst of all, the woman in charge was ignoring them, apparently tapping out a message on her phone.
"I'm not going to be cheated out of this."
The angry man in the tight shirt stomped forward, glowering at Rick.
"They always say this is about merit, then little rats like you find a way to buy merit."
That accusation made Rick grind his teeth, but he managed to swallow his anger. Getting into a fight would accomplish nothing. He wanted to refute what was being said and get all the attention off of him, but he wasn't sure what to say that they would believe. It had just been a dumb accident, and 1 merit point probably wouldn't matter, but...
"He took the bus," the smooth voice came from Damien, who had somehow moved to stand closer to them without being noticed.
As all eyes turned toward him, he gave a smirk.
Judging from how stupidly early he got here, he didn't have a better method of transportation. Isn't that right?
That... Rick cleared his throat, buying a moment to think, and decided to just go with it.
That's right.
I just got lucky.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. If you're really so miserably poor that you have to take the bus here, I don't think you really belong at all.
Damien gave him a sickeningly arrogant smirk, and Rick had to take a deep breath to stay calm.
If that's true, you can prove it on the job.
Rick turned away, but the other man flared with a dark red aura and sped around to appear in front of him. Despite his speed, not a single piece of his suit was even slightly undone.
I think I'd like to prove it right here.
Damien took a step closer so the two of them were face to face. Around them, Rick saw that almost everyone was watching. He wanted to punch the man in his smug face, but wasn't sure if that would break the rules. The woman in charge was still on her phone, even though she must have noticed. Damien grinned mockingly and leaned in further. Then he winked, his smile shifting from arrogance to self-aware amusement.
Play along, okay?
What? Rick's response was cut off when he was punched in the face. Chapter 5. Damien's Challenge. Though the blow sent Rick staggering back, he'd been attacked far too many times for a sucker punch to take him down easily. Even with his defensive core active, it stung, but his head was still clear. That left him time to consider what the hell had just happened. Damien was advancing on him with an unbelievably arrogant smirk that Rick suspected was actually unbelievable. This was an act, so the question was its real purpose. Whatever Damien wanted, it must require his cooperation in some way, unless that was a ruse to set up some even more complex plan. The other man might be flashy, but he wasn't slow. Rick had no more time to think before Damien was punching at him again, jabbing out in testing movements reminiscent of Wing Chun style. There wasn't excessive power behind them, so Rick's instincts took him into the blows, raising his forearms to defend himself and closing the distance. Another blow.